Today we're gonna begin a lesson 5, which is about deliverance. And this is a very interesting topic, which a lot of people try to, you know, they don't like to talk about demons and Satan and all that. But this is a topic that we need to know about, because this is real. You know, there is such a thing as demonology, you know, and I was just looking up the word, and it says demonology is the systematic study or belief in demons, evil spirits of and their actions. So this is the real thing. And if the Bible speaks about it, and if the Lord Jesus confronted demons and cast them out, there is something about this. And we know that the Word of God says that the enemy doesn't come but to kill, steal, and destroy. He doesn't want us to prosper. He doesn't want us to be in harmony together as a church. He wants to destroy and kill our dreams, the purpose that the Lord has for us. So this is a very good study, I believe, for tonight. Amen? And again, as I was saying that, you know, this is Don Crow. He's a minister who got together with Andrew Womack, and they put this evangelism discipleship lesson together. And these lessons are great. So we're going to begin, and, you know, the study of demons is real. And we know from the Word of God that the Lord Jesus spent his ministry here on earth casting out demons, healing the sick, raising the dead, and doing all types of miracles, right? And it tells you here that one-fourth, can you imagine one-fourth of his ministry was actually expelling evil spirits from the people? That's how he spent his time. One quarter of his time. That's a lot. That's a lot. That's 25% of his time, you know. So this is a very good lesson, and it's telling us to let's go to Acts 10:38, right? And I'm going to go to my Bible. Actually, it's right on the lesson too. Acts 10:38. It says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him, right? That's what it says. And let's go to 1 John. Let me see if I can find it real quick. 1 John. Let's see. I don't know if you have your lesson there, but 1 John. What is it? Yeah, 3:8. First John 3:8. It said, "He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Right? So this particular minister, he says he used to think, and he had a different view about demons and evil spirits and unclean spirits and devils and all that, and he thought that they only appeared like in India and third world countries, where, you know, the people don't really worship the Jesus Christ as the living God. But, you know, we know in those countries, and even some countries in Africa, they worship idols, you know. But he found out that he was totally wrong about this. And even when I came to the Lord, I didn't really know about demonic spirits. I had no clue, because we don't learn these things in Roman Catholic. I didn't know anything. I was so naive. I was so ignorant. I mean, we grew up in Puerto Rico. I didn't know evil existed until I came to New York at 11 years old. Really. Like, that's how innocent and naive I was. Very.
But don't they practice Santeria in Puerto Rico?
Yeah, but I was very young. I didn't know anything about that until I came to New York. Do you know that? Where my stepfather's family practiced that. And that's when my life just turned around. I still believe, I believe this, Bernice. I believe that my parents' marriage was broken because of it. Because it was the neighbor, my mom and dad's neighbor who, you know, whose family was into that. And then next thing I know, my parents were getting divorced. Again, I was only 11, so I didn't know anything. So I still believe that that witchcraft did that. Anyway, that's my belief as a young girl, you know, based on what I witnessed, right? But anyway, so here, you know, this minister is giving us his story, right, his side of the story, and he's telling us about his experience that he had quite a few years ago, because I'm sure he wrote this lesson a while back, that he had in Dallas, Texas. And that he was in a church, and all of a sudden there was a girl that just fell on the floor, and it looked like she's having some sort of seizure, right? And then they called on this doctor, and some people said, well, you know, this girl just lives around the corner, so they decided to take her to the house so the doctor could examine her. And then when they got to her home, the girl was like a wildcat, he says. Her eyes were dilated. She had a really strong male voice coming out of her mouth. And again, this little girl, they said she was a very young teenage, a very tiny teenage girl, right? But that what was coming out of her mouth was, you're going to hell. Like she's literally telling this minister, you know, the person who wrote this lesson, you're going to hell. You know, imagine like somebody telling you, you're going to hell. And then he immediately say, no, I'm not. You know, and he said, you know, he was scared, right? Because, you know, he's never experienced anything like this before. And the evil spirit kept saying, yes, you're going to hell. And he kept saying, no, I'm not. I'm not going to hell. And what he's saying here, that evil spirit seemed to have power over him and authority over him. And he honestly, he really didn't know what to do. He didn't know what to do. He didn't know how to deal with this situation. He's never witnessed this in his life, right? So he mentions that one person got scared and they left. And then he says, okay, what am I going to do now? You know? And then he says that the girl has supernatural strength. And she began to speak another type of language. He said German, and he knew this, you know, this girl's family. They've never spoken in Germany before, and all kinds of manifestations, you know, he was witnessing. They were happening, and it was crazy. And he knew that she was demon possessed, no doubt about it. But he didn't know what to do. Like, you know, put yourself in that position. I don't know if you've ever witnessed or been around. I've been around somebody like that, okay? I've been around a couple of times. I've witnessed stuff like this, you know? And so this is real stuff here. But again, he didn't know what to do, you know. But one thing he knew, that the Bible had power, that, you know, the name of the Lord had power. So here we are, right? This thing is just manifesting, right? And again, he's like, oh, my God, what am I going to do? And then all of a sudden, right, he says that he opened his Bible, right, and he began to read from Philippians chapter 2, verses 8 to 11. So let's go there, Philippians 2, verses 8 to 11. And it says, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him. It's speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ here. And given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth. and he began to speak this verse, and the demonic spirit said to him, "Don't say that. I can't stand those words. Yeah. Don't say that." And he was like, wow, he's really reacting to what I'm speaking from the word. So he says, well, and then he began to repeat himself, well, at the name, and then he must have looked, I mean, I can just picture, well, at the name of Jesus, right? And then he just began quoting the word again, right? Every knee should bow, right? Things in heaven, right? Things on earth and things under the earth, right? And the demon still says, don't say that. I can't stand those words. Don't say that. Don't say that. And this is the demonic spirit speaking through the girl. Remember, you know, it sounded like a male voice. Can you imagine? I can only imagine that voice getting stronger and stronger. And this, he's saying this devil was going crazy inside this girl. And all I'm doing is reading. He was reading the word of God. So he kept reading and being found in fashion. He kept reading from verse 8 and he began to read the same scripture over, right?
Over and over.
Exactly. And again, there was the same reaction came out of the evil spirit. And he kept saying, don't say that. I can't stand that. Then the demon grabbed the girl by the ears and she said, don't say that. I can't stand those words. Don't say that. And then the devil threw the girl down before him and she began to bow at the name of Jesus. And I said, the minister says, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth. He didn't stop. He kept going. And just moments before, he's saying the devil had authority and power over him, right? Just moments before. And he really thought, yo, I'm going to be beaten up. I'm going to be forced out of here. I don't know what's going to happen. Like, he literally didn't know what to do. All he knew was that the Bible had power. And then he opened it again and he read again, right? And now the Bible says in Ephesians, let's go to Ephesians because he's just giving us this verse here, 6:17, that it must have come to him and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Because he remembered, right? He remembered that Ephesians 6:17 says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Because this is an offensive weapon, which is like the sword that will cut and hurt the enemy. It is the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. So remember when the Lord Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, when he went into the wilderness, he was tempted by Satan three times by the devil. And the Lord, when he answered, he said, it is written, it is written, it is written. And the Lord used the word of God to come against the enemy, right? And the gospel tells us that you know, after he did that, the enemy just fled. He says he took off and left him for another time, right? That has become one of my favorite scriptures. Just speaking, you know, like, man does not live on bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And what is the word that proceeds out of the mouth of God? It's the Holy Scriptures. It's the Bible. It's the word of God. Amen. So he remembered, you know, there's power in words. Because if Jesus defeated Satan, you know, in those three, you know, in those three temptations, then the word can defeat what's happening right now. So the only weapon we have to defeat the enemy is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then, and this is what he says. He learned that every time that he wants to study the word. He thinks about how hungry he is and have to go find something to eat, or he'll think about all the things that he didn't do that day. You know, he's just making, you know, yeah, exactly. And he says, I know that those in the discipleship class will have all sort of excuses why they can't be there. And he said, I finally figured out why. There's something in the Bible that God wants us to know, and the devil doesn't want us to know. And isn't that true? There are so many distractions nowadays in this world. We can, you know, we can point them out. Social media, family, jobs, you name it. Finances. Finances distract us too, okay? So there's so many distractions nowadays. And yes, the enemy's using that to keep us away from reading the word, to keep us distracted, to keep us preoccupied, you know, so we don't think about the word, or we don't become aware, hey, the Holy Spirit's living in the inside of us, right? And so every time you come to study God's word or do a discipleship class, there is something in the word of God the enemy doesn't want us to know. He doesn't want us to know that the God that we serve, that he is behind these words. He wrote the book, you know. People were inspired by him through the anointing of the Holy Spirit. They wrote the Bible. Amen? And yes, there is a true kingdom of darkness. And then there's the kingdom of light. This is where the Lord came into play. He is the light of the world. The Lord Jesus is called the light of the world. And let's go to Colossians 1:13, right? Colossians 1:13, look at what it says. It says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness, speaking about the Lord Jesus, and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Amen? So, God delivered us, right? Delivered us. And from we were once living in darkness, but now when we said yes to the Lord, we came into his world, and we came into the marvelous light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And you know, what kingdom are we? We're in the kingdom of light. Right? So a kingdom where someone has to rule and reign, and that Jesus Christ is king. Right?
Yep.
That's who we serve. We serve God. He's light. He's the truth. He's the ultimate beacon of light, right? We serve a God that it, you know, he represents truth. He represents life. He represents light. He represents revelation. He represents faithfulness. You know, he represents a God of promises. Amen. Mm-hmm. So this is who we have made a priority over our lives, right? Let's go to Luke 6:46, the Gospel of Luke 6:46. And it says here, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? So because, you know, he wants to be preeminent in your life and be number one. And there is a true and real kingdom of darkness out there that is trying to keep the Lord from that preeminence, that place of reigning in your life, right? We got to put God first in everything we do. You know, the Word of God says in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added unto you. God is always first. He's priority. Amen. Then our family, then ministry. That's the order that God wants us to you know, to experience and really set our minds on God first. You know, you know, when I remember that verse, I remember Revelation, where one of the churches, you know, the Lord says, you know, you're doing everything great. However, you have forgotten your first love. And sometimes we forget that God is supposed to be number one in our life. We got to serve Him first above all things. Serve Him above our families. We got to seek the Lord first. No matter what we do. Yes. You know? And because God has to be number one in our life. Amen. You know, I mean, he came, you know, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but the Lord came that we may have life and have it in abundance. Life. Abundant life. And we can have that. Yes, we're going to go through some, you know, circumstances, trials, tribulations, sufferings, maybe some pain and stuff like that. However, the Lord says, but there is victory. You have life. You have victory. You've already won. The Lord Jesus already defeated Satan. He's under our feet. We have the victory in Christ Jesus. But He's got to be number one. He's got to be first in everything we do. Amen? So the reason, the Word of God, I mean, the lesson is saying the reason for this is the enemy wants to rise up, right, in that place of preeminence. He wants to take the Lord's place, in other words.
Yes, he does.
He wants to worship. He wants to be above God, and that can't happen. So we have to turn our hearts to the Lord every day and realize that there's a real enemy, and his name is Satan, and he has demonic power. But the Bible, as we know it to be, the Bible tells us that we have authority, we have power, and we have dominion over the enemy. Amen. The only power that the enemy has, Satan has, is the power to deceive us. That's it. But if we open that door, he can come in and deceive. But if we keep that door shut and let him know, nope, you can come this far, but you can't get past that. You can't touch me. You got to say no to the devil at all times. Say no to that temptation. So here the Lord says, let's go to Matthew 10:8. And it says here, talking about the Lord Jesus, right? He's healed the sick, cleansed the lepers, raised the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Amen. So Jesus is saying these. If your words are in red in your Bible, this is a commandment that the Lord gave to his disciples. Because he gave them authority and power and dominion to do the same thing that the Lord Jesus did on earth. The same thing, even the disciples were healing the sick, cleansing the lepers, raising the dead, casting out devils. Mm-hmm. And if they did it and the Lord did it, we can do it too. Because the Word of God says that as the Lord is, so are we in this world. He's given us the power. He's given us the anointing. We have the Holy Spirit. That's all we need. We just need the Lord. We're not doing it. It's the power within us that's healing the sick. It's the power within us that's cleansing the lepers when we lay hands and speak unto that leprosy. It's the power within us that when we laid our hands on the dead, we should see them be raised from the dead.
Amen. Yes.
It's the power within us that we can command that demonic spirit to come out. And it has to come out in the name of Jesus. Because we just read it. And we read about a situation. And that reminds me, because I didn't go with Peter, but my late husband, right? When he was going to a church, he was called because he used to do deliverance. He had a prophetic walk. He had a prophetic office, and he also did deliverance. And he was called, and you know, I can only tell you what he told me and what others told me that were in the room. But he was called to go to somebody's house because there was a young girl. I think she was about 11 or 12. That she was just manifesting at somebody's house. So they called Peter to come over. When he came over, she said, "What are you doing here, Peter?" And she called them by his name. And he began to speak the word of God. And she, this little girl, she had that supernatural strength that they were talking about in this story. She picked them up and threw them, pushed them on the other side of the room. Like, this little girl had power. And he just began to speak the word until she was just delivered. You know, but this is real. And we've seen it. And Vinny, you've seen it. I've seen it. It's real. And the one thing that you cannot do is be scared. Because they'll eat you all up. You know, but when you speak with authority and the authority that you have, and you begin to command that demon to come out, it has to come out in the name of Jesus. It's got no other choice because he sees the blood of Jesus all over you, and he cannot stand Christians.
Demons are all around us. Mm. Demons are conceived.
Demons of gluttony, they're just there, they're sitting on your shoulder, they're talking to you, they're singing
things to you, and you just gotta rebuke them. As my
grandmother would say, rebuke Satan. Yes. Because they're real, and you can't see them.
They are real.
They could be standing next to us right now, but they can touch us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
They cannot have any part of us in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
And that's why you got to walk with your head held high. This is why we need to know the word. Because
you
it is...
You know your identity in Christ, too, Pastor. When you say, when you gave that lesson, it's like you have to know your identity in Christ.
Yes, and that's why I began with that lesson, because it took me over 15 years to know who I was in Christ. Mm-hmm. I couldn't get it. Like, I kept looking at my past. I couldn't get it, and I finally got it. So now you can't tell me otherwise. You know, it took me a while, but I got it, and that's, right now, that's like my go-to message. Identity. Identity in Christ. That's really my message, because I see so much confusion in this world. Boys don't know their boys. Girls don't know their girls. There's too much confusion going on. And even if they know they're girls, they're still walking by being defined by their past, because they don't know their true identity in Christ. That the past doesn't define them. That they no longer have to walk in shame, guilt, or condemnation. And a lot of young girls are still walking that way. I was one of them, so I know. It took me a long time to be delivered, you know. But praise the Lord that he took me out of that dark world and brought me into his marvelous light. Amen. Hallelujah. So, yeah, so we need to, as students of the word, disciples of the word, we need to preach the gospel of the kingdom. And know that you and I, we have authority over the enemy. And we cannot allow the enemy to talk us out of what God already has ordained in our life, what God has already ordained as our destiny. Do not allow the enemy to disturb that, to be a hindrance to that. You got to command, like Sister Vinny said, you got to command him right then and there and rebuke him out. Those thoughts, you got to come out. Like, you got to stop the enemy, like, now. Like, and not tomorrow, not tonight, like right now. In the name of Jesus, you got to go.
Amen. Just name that's right.
And we got to make the Lord number one at all times. You know why? Because we will never regret it. Like the lesson says, you will never regret it. We cannot regret that we are Christ's beloved. You know, that is the greatest gift God has given us, His Son, His treasure. We carry His glory. We carry His power. We carry His authority. We carry His dominion. He gave it back to us. Adam lost it, gave it away, but through the Lord Jesus Christ, we have it.
Yes.
We got the power, the same power that Jesus has had on earth, we have it. You know, Romans, and I'm going to end with this one, Romans 8:11, right? It's not on the lesson, but let's reread Romans 8:11, where it says, but if the Spirit of Him, talking about the Lord, right, who raised Jesus from the dead, dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. So the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the same Spirit that is within us. So yes, we can heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons, because as we have freely received, right, we can freely give out. Amen? Amen. Yeah. Amen? I mean, yeah. It's right here. Like this is amazing.
This one verse speaks of the Trinity. It speaks of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Right? Yeah, you're right. Yes. I didn't even see it that way. Mm-hmm. That's right. Isn't that something? Like, wow, just think about it. We have the power of the Lord. And why aren't we seeing the signs and wonders and the miracles? Because honestly, I really believe, like I've believed in the past, like, you know, afraid. Fear comes in, right? That's number one, fear.
I don't know, because when I was growing up, we used to have those tent revivals.
Yeah, yeah.
Happening at these tent revivals and just people being saved and everything and delivered and healed. They don't have tent revivals anymore.
Yeah, we don't see that a lot at all.
Have you ever been to a tent revival, either one of you?
Yeah, I have not seen one in many, many years.
It's been a while, yeah. I don't think so,
because I came into the Lord, like, in my 30s. So, yeah, no. Nope. I have not. But in the, you know, it's amazing because, you know, I was reading through, before we get to the question, because it's only 7, I was reading through my journal today. I don't know, I just decided to read through my journal, you know. And I don't write every day. I should be writing, but I don't. I opened the book and I said, I think I started like in 2020 or something, 2021, just little sections. And all my and a lot of my prayers, declaration inside the journal is about this. This very verse, yeah. Like, Lord, we are going to see people saved, healed, delivered, and restored in the name of Jesus. And we've been declaring this from the beginning. You know, and I even saw, you know, the name of the church and everything else. I mean, I was just reading and just reading promises and reminding the Lord about His promises and just things, just reading, you know. And I was like, oh my goodness, I remember, you know. So, and I'm like, yeah, this is it. We're going to see the miracle signs and wonders. Within the ministry walls and outside the ministry walls. Because we've been praying for it and we have it. We have that power.
Yes.
Amen? We have it.
We have that power. We're going to see it. We're going to see it. And we don't have to wait for the church. We see it right now. I saw that power move in Mexico, you know. And I know when we pray, like let's say we pray for our loved ones, our prayers are being heard.
Yes.
Our prayers are being heard.
If we don't see them healed, it's not our problem because we have faith. Mm-hmm. We're carrying the word. We have the faith, and we're speaking it by faith, and that's what we need. We got to speak the word by faith, and it shall be because that's what the word says. And we're not seeing it, then it's not between me and God. It's between that person and the Lord. And what it is, that's between them. But I you know, we do what we got to do as Christians, as disciples, and God will take care of the rest, you know, because he's got to deal with the person. You know what I mean? But it's not us. Our prayers are not in vain. They're being heard, and we are declaring the word. There is power in words. There's power and life in our tongues. And when we speak the word of God, we're speaking the word by faith. We're speaking the word that is above everything. Mm-hmm. And we're speaking in the name of Jesus, which is, that's where the power is. There's power in the name.
Yeah.
So we're speaking it. All right, let's go to the questions. Let's go to, what's this, Ephesians 6:12?
Mm-hmm. Do we read that?
No, we read 6:17.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. All right.
Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places."
And we know that they're all, like we said, right, Vinny? They're all around us. So how does this verse describe our spiritual conflict with the demonic realm?
It's a constant fight. In other words,
yeah,
you gotta stay prayed up.
Yep.
So they're constantly there. They're there all the time trying to pull you in, trying to get you to do something. You know how do you say, how the kids say, not today, Satan.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So this is definitely describing a wrestling, a battle, a conflict, a struggle. That's what it's describing right now. All right, let's go to Mark 16:17.
"And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues."
In the Lord's name. So what does this verse teach us about the authority of the believer?
You got to just open your mouth and speak the word. That's what it says.
That's it.
Speaking your authority, speaking it. Speak to his name. Amen.
Yeah, we have the authority to speak the name of Jesus, right? And we can cast out demons. We can cast them out. That's what this is teaching us. That in the Lord's name, we can cast out demons.
Mm-hmm. Amen. James 4:7.
"Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee." He's got no choice but to. He's got to go. He's more afraid of us. So it says here, what must a person seeking deliverance from demons do?
Submit to God. You have to submit. And first you have to submit, then you resist.
Exactly. You can't resist if you're not submitted.
Exactly.
It's comes again.
You got to submit part. You just go to resist.
Exactly. It just like the word is conditional. Mm-hmm. You have to do something to have results.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you don't do it, you're not gonna get results.
Right.
Right. Okay, James 1:14. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. So how does Satan deceive us into making something evil look desirable?
Showing you what
he thinks
you want, basically.
Yep.
That's him. Just like it says, submit yourself to God. If you submit to God, this would be happening to you.
Yeah, yeah. In other words here, like the lesson says, the one I just read, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires. The lesson says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. So, yeah. So, he works with our own lust, right? He makes something that's evil look desirable. Something that you want. You're tempted by it. That's why Satan deceives us. That's what he's doing. You know, I think he's deceiving a lot of people through social media this way, too.
Oh, yes.
We really have to be careful. Mine, too. I'm fasting on social media. Isn't that funny? I didn't know you were fasting until you mentioned it the other day.
Yes, I am.
I am, too. I am not looking at that. Oh, my goodness. Romans. Let's go to the book of Romans 6:13. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. That's a lot in this verse, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it says here, if a person fills their life with the things of Christ, demons will get uncomfortable and leave on their own. What does this verse tell us to do? Yeah, we got to yield to God, right?
Yeah, righteous to God, right?
It's what it's saying. It's, you know, like the lesson said, yield. We got to yield to God, not to sin. Yield our members as instruments of right doing. Will they come from either one? What does this one tell us? Yeah. It's telling us to just yield to God, not to sin. All right, Romans 13:14. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Make no provision. Demons feed on the works of the flesh. So starve them out by walking in God's ways of love and purity. We are to make no blank the flesh. Vinny, you said it, right?
No provision.
It's even bolded in my Bible. That word is bolded in my Bible. make no provision. And it says here in my study Bible, provision is foreplanning, foresight, forethought, premeditated plan, making preparation for, providing for. That's what it's saying. Paul prohibited,
we're not under the law.
That's right.
We're not under the law. We're under grace.
Under grace, so, amen.
Under the law, you would be like ticking things off a box, like, you know.
Yeah.
But under grace, it's like you're going about your day. You're not like, you know, you're not, I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't eat on Friday, but, you know, I can't have this because it's unclean or whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever. So... But under grace, you're not thinking about those things. You're going about your life. So he's just saying, we're not under the law. It's not A, B, C, D, E. It's like, follow me, and, you know, you'll do the right thing. But when you take your mind off of that, you start trying to remember to do this and that and not do this and that. And you make a provision. You're like deciding. You're making a choice.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
I know as Christians, like, you know, sometimes I think it's not intentional. It's not like I'm thinking about doing it, but you do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like if I sit here and go, all right, I am going to outright do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. That is so true. Any comment, Liz?
No, she covered it all. It's true. We're not living by the Lord, by grace, you know. And
that's right.
You just have to always, always be focused on God. And once you're with the Lord, you know, that's it. And nothing can come against you.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, as soon as you tempt it, no, devil. I'm saying no right now. Oh, my goodness. That's right. All right, let's go to the book of Luke. Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 17 to 19. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Wow, that's powerful. It says here, Jesus never tells us to pray to him to cast out demons. He's given us, and this is what we've been talking about today, he's given us the authority. So this verse tells us we have power and authority over
the enemy. Amen. Over the enemy.
And not just over the enemy, but over all the power of the enemy. Not some of the power, not just the power, all. And A-L-L means all. like this is what we have.
It's true. So, because, you know, people talk about fantasy, voodoo.
Yes.
And I tell people, those things only hurt you if you believe them. I don't believe they hurt me because I know who's wrong with me. So I'm not worried about all these evil spirits and stuff like that. I'm not concerning myself with it because it's when you believe that it has power over you, that's when it can hurt you.
Yes.
If you don't believe in it, if you'd be on a plane, you've risen above, and you're not going to concern yourself with it because they can't hurt you. Because of who you believe and who dwells in you, the Holy Spirit dwells in you, and you already accepted Jesus Christ. It's like, I don't care about voodoo or or you know, people casting spells on me and all that other stuff. I'm not concerned with that because mm-hmm. I got a shield over me that protects me from it.
You got the armor, hey.
No, that is really true. And again, Vinny, this is where, like you said, this is where identity comes in. Because if you don't know who you are, if you don't know you have authority and power and dominion over the enemy will eat you all up. You will run. You'll be scared. You will freeze. It will, you know, whatever situation you're in will paralyze you. And you gotta forget the words, the word of God, because you're not, you really don't know your true identity. And we are fully equipped. We got the full armor every day. We don't need to put it on. We already have it. You know what I mean? We have it. We have the word. We got the shield. We got everything. We got the belt. We got the helmet. We have everything that we need already. Through the Lord Jesus Christ. As soon as you say yes, boom, you were sealed. That's it. That's it. You're a child of God. You are the beloved of God. You've been chosen, adopted, and accepted by the Lord. And He's given us the power, the authority, dominion to come against all of the power of the enemy. That's why when the enemy comes, he looks at you and says, "Whoa, I better not play with this one today. Because, you know, I have a mouth and I'm going to use it."
It'll be saying what that girl was saying when that pastor was saying those words.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear it. Don't tell me.
Exactly. Exactly. Trust me, they run.
You know, people that for like non-believers. You know, the devil is always busy, so you'll have somebody that says, "Well, you believe in God and you're saved and everything. How come you get sick or whatever?" I was like, "I have a human body. There are germs out there. I can get sick.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't care about sickness. I don't really care about these other evil things that are out there that are trying to get me. Or so then I got sick. You know, it happens.
Mm-hmm.
We're in a human body. Things are going to happen to
mm-hmm.
the human body.
Mm-hmm.
Plain and simple. You won't live forever. It's like some people can avoid sickness altogether, and sometimes you can't. It's not a reflection of your belief in God and Jesus Christ
mm-hmm.
and the Holy Spirit. It's just a matter of I am in a human body. Things happen to a human body. Period. Point blank. But they, you know, they're always trying to, like, throw jabs at you and ask you questions, and you just got to just walk away from them and go, you know what?
Yeah.
Not today, Satan.
Yeah, and you know, the reality is just because you have symptoms, you know, the word says, you know, God wants you well and you're healed. So we just command this body to line up, and we command the pain to leave. We curse, you know, any sickness and disease, because that's what the word tells us to do. We curse it out, just like we curse the enemy. We gotta curse the sickness out, because it has no legal right to be in our bodies. If the perfect one, the healer, lives in the inside of us, nothing can touch us or harm us. But if you begin to entertain those symptoms and focus yourself on that, those symptoms will increase, will get worse, and you know, the enemy will have a field day with you. But the minute you begin to cast them out and curse them out, they gotta leave. They gotta leave. I don't care if the pain gets stronger the next day. You gotta continue. Nope, I'm healed. Nope, I'm healed. Nope, body. You gotta line up. I mean, it's the word. It's the word. You gotta speak the word. Lord, you said in your word that Jesus bore my sickness, my disease, my infirmities on the cross, and by His stripes I'm healed. I'm walking in my healing today, right now. Like, it's a matter of you just gotta. And when you speak the word, you gotta have faith behind it. Faith behind it. Because God cannot operate without you having faith. You can't please Him without faith. So, faith has to be there. You know, the minute unbelief comes in, it cancels out, you know, it nullifies your faith, and then nothing happens in your body. Mm-hmm. But we got to know who we are. We got to know our authority in Christ. Amen? Mm-hmm. This is why the next lesson is authority of the believer. Amen?
The authority of the believer?
That's right. That's the next lesson. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Any suggestions, any questions before I stop the recording?
Nope, that was a good message.
Excellent.